Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 3. I was asked to just share a little bit as far as my testimony or growing up here. As I mentioned last night, I was not saved in the ministries here at Fairhaven. I was saved at the age of 7 at Roanoke Baptist Church in Roanoke, Indiana. So a couple hours from here, a couple hour drive. And it's interesting because my first Sunday school teacher at Roanoke Baptist Church was Mrs. Stump. Some of you old timers may remember the Stumps. We moved here because my dad took a job as a superintendent for a company, and we started attending Fairhaven Baptist Church in 1975. 1977, I was enrolled into the academy, and to the demise of Miss Campbell, Miss Leslie. I remember she had a demerit board. It was a green poster board with all the kids' names on it, and it had a spider web on it. You know, it was supposed to be bad. You know, demerit's bad. And I remember all my boxes checked and running down the side. I came straight out of public school. I didn't know rules. I wasn't going to follow no rules, and nobody's going to make me follow rules. She broke me. I learned that, you know, it's better to follow the rules and have the principal walking around with the paddles that were, they're not passing out. Let's just put it that way. But anyway, I graduated school in 1985 and attended college here. And in 1990, Pastor Randy Love started, or actually in 1987, he started Old Paths Baptist Church in Jefferson City, Missouri. And in 1990, he had called me. We were good friends in school, and I was kind of floundering, not knowing what God wanted me to do. He called and asked if I'd come in for a visit. One thing led to another, and I basically took over the whole children's program and bus routes at Old Paths Baptist Church in 1990. Met my wife, got married in 1991, and then in 1998, God began to work on my heart, calling me to preach. I did not want to break that news to Pastor Love because Gary and Lisa Zdarsky was there working with our youth, and they just moved to Chicago to start a church. So I did not want to break that news to him that God's calling me to preach, and I'm moving. Little did I know God was moving him here to work as dean of students, and he left me there by myself. So in 1998, I started pastoring Old Paths Baptist Church. I've had the privilege of coming back many times through the years, preaching conferences, empowered youths, and it's exciting to come back and see familiar faces year after year and seeing faithful faces. And that is so encouraging to somebody in the ministry who, you know, a lot of times gets lonely, to say the least, when you're out in the ministry. And even though we are in the capital city, there are very few good independent Baptist churches around to fellowship with. So I always look forward to coming here and receiving the fellowship I receive at Fairhaven Baptist Church. And I'm honored to be here tonight and giving you the word. I am not much on technology, but I understand that I've got about 20 minutes to preach, and I don't do the iPad thing because I can be a conspiracy theorist when it comes to technology. One day, I pulled my phone out because I don't have a watch, and that's what I use. And Mrs. Brady, she taught me how to tell a good story in pulpit speech. Just seeing if you're awake. She didn't teach pulpit speech. But anyway, I was getting animated one day in one of my messages, and I was preaching about Elisha and the Syrians surrounding the city, and his servant, frantic in the morning, wakes up, and he says, "The Syrians, they're surrounding us." And he prays and asks God, you know, to open his eyes and reveal the host of heaven around him. I come back over to the pulpit, and my iPhone is dictating everything that I'm saying. That's freaky. You know, apparently when I said, "The Assyrian army," it thought I said, "Hey, Siri."
Ha, ha, ha.
I don't trust them. I don't trust them. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the calling of Moses this evening. But I want to start with Isaiah chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. We're all very familiar with this passage in Isaiah where the Lord says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for me?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And as a pastor, and I believe any other pastors that are represented here tonight would say, I wish I had a church full of those people. But I have to be honest with you tonight, there's been times throughout the ministry where God's asked me to do something where I'm not quite ready to say, here am I, send me. And I'm not just talking about God's will in our life, I'm talking about every aspect of our life. You know, there's been times when God has led on my heart to go speak to somebody and it wasn't quite the right circumstances or it wasn't quite, you know, the right time. And I was like, I don't know about doing this, Lord. And I began to make excuses to why I shouldn't do that, which God was clearly laying upon my heart to do. And I think this is a problem in all churches. And I think this is a problem in all Christians at some point in time in their life. And we see the calling of Moses here. I want us to look at chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I that I should go?" Now, I imagine when Moses was making this statement, he was making a statement thinking, look how humble I am. God, who am I? I'm really a nobody. I'm wandering on the backside of the desert. You know, so why are you calling me? Well, there are several reasons as to why Moses should have just gone. I want us to look back here in a few verses. Look back at verses 7, 8, and 9 there. And it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them." Again, there are several reasons here just in these verses why Moses should have just dropped everything and listened to the command of God. The first thing I notice here is Israel was in need. They had a need to be delivered out of Egypt. And God was calling unto Moses saying, hey, you need to fulfill this need. Look at verse 10. It says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Not only was there a need, the children of Israel was needing to come out of Egypt. We see very clearly God's telling Moses, go. When God tells you to do something, it's best to listen. And we see that God is commissioning Moses to go. He selected Moses. He could have selected a number of different people in the world at that time to go and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he chose Moses. Why did he choose Moses? Well, I think that Moses was a unique individual when it come to this time, and God planned all of this out many years prior to this. See, Moses, if you look back at chapter 2, and I'm rushing because I only got 20 minutes. Chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. It says, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, Because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren." So the Israelites were his heritage. The children of Israel, he had a bond with them because he was one. Now there was no other individual that had a bond with Israel that also had a bond with the Egyptians at this time. Because he was then given unto Pharaoh's daughter, and she basically brought him up to train him in the ways of the Egyptians. In Acts chapter 7, verses 21 and 22, it says, "And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." We're going to come back to that second verse here in a few minutes. But Moses was trained in the ways of the Egyptians. So what better person was there to go to Egypt to bring out the Israelites? God had already prepared him to do so. We could look at Esther and we could look at other individuals in the Bible and know that God does uniquely prepare individuals to do specific deeds. And Moses was one of these individuals that God had uniquely designed and planned out his life for this purpose. But when God comes to Moses and said, "Moses, I need you to go," he says, "I'm not ready to go." How often do we find ourselves in this same situation? There's a world in need of deliverance. The fields are white on the harvest, but the laborers are few. There's a need. There's a world that needs to be delivered, and God has commissioned each and every one of us to go. He tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." God has commissioned us. He has told us to go. So why do we make excuse when he tells us, "Hey, why don't you go talk to this individual?" He lays that specific person on our heart. Are we any different than Moses when he's telling him to go? "Well, that's a much bigger job." Yeah, that's more reason for us to do the small job that God's asking us to do. To go. Not only was he commanded to go, he asked that question, "Who am I that I should go?" Look at chapter 3, verse 13. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Here we see, what shall I say unto them? What should I tell them? So we know that he's already saying, "Who am I?" Now he's saying, "What should I tell them?" You know, what kind of message am I supposed to take in order for them to give? You know, whenever we ask a question of God, God always has an answer in the scriptures if we're willing to search for it. And God gives the answer right here. He tells us in verse 14 through 22, "And the anger of the Lord," I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong passage, chapter 3, verse 14, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, nor by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I'll give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians." God's saying, "Listen, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to say. And he gave Moses the exact words to take unto the children of Israel when he goes unto Egypt. And while he is there, God tells him, just as he tells us, that he will give us the words to say. Throughout the years as a pastor, I've talked to many of people who said, well, I just don't know what I would say. You know, I just don't know how I would witness to this individual. I don't know, you know, what I would say in this situation. You know, God gives us the words to say. The Bible teaches that in John chapter 14, verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. You know, as I speak with individuals, it's amazing to me, and this is one of the things that I'm thankful for, the education that I received here in the academy and then in the college, is all the verses that I had to memorize. You know, because there's times when I'm speaking to an individual and all of a sudden a verse will pop into my head. And man, it's been 30 years since I memorized that verse. What's going on here? The Holy Spirit is bringing it to my remembrance. And God will do that for each and every one of us if we do what he has told us to do. So God is going to equip us to speak. He's also going to give us the ability to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That means that God is going to equip us. He's going to give us the ability to go and do the works that he's commissioned us to do. And he's doing the exact same thing for Moses. You know, people will come into my office and they'll sit down and they say, well, I just don't know how to instruct my child, or I don't know, you know, what I need to tell to my coworker. And basically what I tell them is, tell them what the Bible says. The answer is right there. I'm probably the worst counselor in the world because I defer. But you can defer them to the scriptures and they can find the answers. God has equipped us in this day and age with what to tell. We see also in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. But what if they don't listen? God's told us to go. You know, he doesn't tell us that we force it down people's throat. He tells us to preach with his power and with his might. But we see in verses 2 through 9, and I'm quickly here, it says, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. Then he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Here we see God answering Moses again with the excuse that Moses was given. He said, listen, I'm giving you the power. I'm confirming the fact that I am sending you to the children of Israel to deliver them. But you can't quit just because somebody is telling you or not listening to you, and they're telling you you can't do it. You can't quit. We need to be diligent, as Pastor Dameron was preaching this morning. And we need to continue. You know, I know this message isn't as insidious as his message was this morning. So I picked up a few things this morning. Osidious. That's just a fun word to say. Okay, anyway, I don't have that much time. We see here that we can't quit. Aren't you glad that today when God told Noah to build the ark, he didn't quit? Aren't you glad that when the people came and began to make fun of him and mock him, that he didn't quit? Things would look a lot different today. If Moses, or if Noah threw his hands up in the air like many of us do, and say, I just can't do that. You know, we can't quit. We've got to keep going. There's too much work to be done, especially in the day and age that we live in, to be raising a bunch of quitters. And we need to power on. In chapter 4, verse 10, it says, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You know, I could use this excuse. I live in the capital city of Jefferson City, Missouri. You know, there's politicians in Jefferson City, hillbillies and rednecks. Okay, and there is all different kinds of slurs and speeches and all these different things that I have to be honest, when I'm lazy, I begin to talk like them. But we can't use that as an excuse. What baffles my mind is Moses used this as an excuse. Because didn't we read in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds? He was mighty in words. He was a great speechster. I know that's not a word. But he was great. Sorry, Mrs. Brady. He was great when it came to his oral skills. But he used this as an excuse. You know, sometimes we need to not depend so much on our own skills. See, Moses could have depended upon his skills of oratory, but we need to depend upon God. Because God will give us the ability. He does give us the abilities. You know, too often when we rely upon our own human abilities, what happens is we get robbed of God's blessings. Because God wants to use really the insignificance. Because when God uses the insignificance of us, who gets the glory? God does. So Moses is using this as an excuse. Paul understood this. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, he says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He knew that if he went out in his weakness, dying to himself, that he would have to depend upon the strength of God. And when we get to a point in our life where we want to give up, we just don't want to go further, we need to fall on our knees and we need to cry out for the strength of God to move forward. We know that he asked the question, who am I that I should go? What shall I tell them? Suppose they won't listen to me. Well, God, I'm just not eloquent enough. But what's interesting, we see in chapter 4 and verse 13, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. See, here lies the real problem. See, Moses up to this point was giving excuse as to why he couldn't do it. And now he gives the reason why he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. He was unwilling. Now, I'm afraid that too many of us as Christians in our day-to-day life get up in the morning with good intentions, but throughout the course of the day find ourselves unwilling to do the simple things that God asks of us to do. God asks us to do nothing more than what is our reasonable service. But yet we find ourselves like Moses, unwilling. This is the only time that we see in this passage of Scripture that he gets an angered response from God. What was that response? In verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what he shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. See, God had an angered response. But what's fascinating about this response is Moses wasn't released from the task that God told him to do. He still had to do it. How often do we see that through scriptures? Jonah wanted to run from God and from what God had told him to do, but he ended up where God told him to go. But he was robbed out of the blessings of enjoying the revival. See, Moses was robbed out of some blessings here because he wanted to make excuses to why he couldn't go. We are never released from the responsibilities of Christian living. When God tells us to go into the world and to preach and teach the gospel, he's not going to release us from that commission. He's not going to release us from that calling. He's requiring us to go. Don't make excuse. See, what was Moses' problem here? We read in Isaiah where Isaiah, he was willing. He's like, oh Lord, send me. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Moses, here am I. Send somebody else. How often do we find ourselves in that same category? Here am I, Lord. Send him. Here am I. Send her. You are robbing yourself of so many blessings in this life. We can't focus on all the desires of our own heart. You know where that leads you? Nowhere. May 22nd, last year, in 3 minutes, me and my family lost everything that we had. Everything. We had a tornado direct hit to our house. 11 o'clock at night, it was dark. I wasn't home. I couldn't even get a hold of my family for 2-3 hours to know if they were okay. I was at a conference in Branson, Missouri. But in 3 minutes. But when I got home, and I seen my wife, my kids, little bruised up, little beaten, but they're okay. All that other stuff didn't matter. It wasn't a concern. And I look back over the last year and see how God has given me more than I had a year ago. It just blows my mind to see how God wants to take care of those who are willing to do his business. Are you willing? Hear my Lord.